The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, joined on this Super Bowl preview-ish episode, ranking, grading, Super Bowl storylines by the Super Friends, Ryan Wilson and John Breach, Ryan Finley Wilson and Breachapalooza. What's up, Wilson, Finley? It notes when you mute yourself through StreamYard, but do whatever you want to do. We are live on YouTube and live on Twitch for almost all of these shows. So if you feel like, you know, you can't come to a, if we were down in Tampa, we'd probably be doing this show. We'd definitely be doing this show live from Radio Row, and you'd be able to stop by and watch it in all its production glory. And as it is, you just got to hang out and watch on Twitch and YouTube. But if you're doing that and you're watching live, and you want to jump in and say something in the chat, have a question you want to ask us, have a prop you want us to discuss, by all means, do it. We'll be happy to do it. All right. Thank you. Y'all killed it on HQ earlier. Appreciate it, Arctic Suresh, watching on YouTube. Very much appreciate that. What's up, guys?
Yo, yo, yo. It's Super Bowl week, Breach. You didn't interrupt me. Way to go. Great start of 2021.
You know, it's funny, though, Brinson. If we were doing the show from Tampa, we would be in hazmat suits. So
I'm staying under a non-COVID situation.
Oh, I didn't know that was assumed. I don't know about your scenarios. You just come up with these scenarios. Who knows what's going on?
Like, it is crazy.
We did the show live from Miami. That's where it was. And, but we were on Radio Row and we had, you could like walk by and like watch us while we were doing it. And I'm sure that there would be an area for Pick Six podcast fans and listeners to come check it out. Maybe. I
don't know. It's crazy that it was 12 months ago. I said on the HQ show we were doing the Andy Reid dance, right outside of, was that Miami Gardens? Is that
Hard Rock Stadium?
Yeah, Hard Rock Stadium, Miami Gardens, I think. And that was a year ago. And, you know, COVID has sort of happened overseas. We were fine for the time being. I mean, we were going out. Everyone was, you know, Florida was continuing to Florida. So nothing had changed.
But it's hard now either, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It feels like it was like 12 years ago, not 12 months ago. But, hopefully next year we'll all be together in LA. And it'll be go time.
Why are people wearing?
Yeah, the Super Bowl was supposed to be in LA this year, but then Los Angeles got hit with historical rains and they had delayed the opening of the stadium by a year, which had to delay the Super Bowl being hosted by a year. And so they switched with Tampa Bay.
And the NFL kind of dodged a bullet there, by the way, because that Super Bowl would not be taking place in LA. Although maybe, I don't know if like they, I
mean, there wouldn't be any fans there.
Well, there definitely wouldn't be fans there, but they kicked the 49ers out of the state.
That was a county decision.
What's that?
That was a county decision. No, I'm saying best case scenario, the game can be played, but there's definitely no fans. So you're right. The NFL dodged bullet.
Yeah. The NFL is pleased that this is taking place in Florida, which allows it to bring first responders down there. By the way, in the feed, we have the ultimate betting guide with RJ White. If you want to download that for free, go to sportsline.com. And if you want to join sportsline.com for free, if you need a backdoor way to stream the Super Bowl, go to sportsline.com/join. Use promo code EDGE. You'll get your first month for free. And when you do that, you get a free CBS All Access subscription. You can also just go subscribe to CBS All Access. Highly recommended. I was watching it. What was I watching it for? I was watching golf. So like if you don't have cable, you don't need cable. If you have CBS All Access, you pay for CBS All Access. You can watch your local CBS channel for free. So you can watch professional football, like golf every weekend.
Local news if you want.
Local news if you want. Yeah. So go sign up for CBS All Access. It's like $5 a month or something, $6 a month. It's cheap.
CBS All Access, soon to be Paramount Plus in March. So don't be confused.
I'm not trying to pre-confuse our viewers.
Yeah.
We do that enough during the show.
Go to cbssports.com/props. Get yourself a chance to win $1 million. There are more props than ever for the big game this year. And CBS Sports is rolling out the red carpet, trying to give you guys a chance to win some cash. Enter the CBS Sports football props game for your chance to compete for the $1 million jackpot. Yes, $1 million. If you correctly answer all of the questions, the winner is guaranteed $50,000. You know, if you win, but don't answer all the questions correctly, and you can win all that money for free. Don't have to risk a thing. Football props, free to play. You can win up to $1 million. Go to cbssports.com/props or download. This is actually the easier way to do it. Download the CBS Sports app to enter. Go check that out. Are you guys missing? So right now it's like 6:30. I think we'd be gearing up for media night. Is that we'd be in the stadium going through security, getting our bags sniffed by dogs as we walk through security for media night. Do you miss it, or has it not sunk in that we're not there?
You know, it's funny for me, like Breach and Brinson actually work on media night. They're doing usually stuff for social. They're in front of the camera. They're asking people idiotic questions. They're giving professional football players piggyback rides if you're Breach. For me, last year, media night was awesome because here's what I did. Here's my little pro tip for people. If you go to media night and you're into the draft, I go find every young coach who's way down on the coaching depth chart and talk to him. And I use that as a source for later because he's a young guy who in 10 years could be a GM. He could be a head coach. He could be an offensive coordinator. And I enjoy that. Actually, it was very useful for me. It's incredibly difficult to talk to. You're not going to talk to Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to talk to Tom Brady unless you wait for 30 minutes and yell a question and he's going to give you a one-word answer. If you want to talk to players further down the roster, you can do that. They'll just be milling about, and that's actually good if you have specific questions. But at the end of the day, they're not going to serve a purpose for social media purposes unless you're asking them something silly or they have some sort of tie-in that's useful. So it's not particularly useful in terms of turning what I like to talk about with people into like written content that's going to go viral or whatever. But Breach and Brinson, I thought you guys did a pretty good job of doing your thing. Not only the draft last year, but I think even one of the best things you guys have ever done professionally was probably at the Nashville draft where you were on the party buses with all the soon-to-be, what are those things called, bachelorette parties.
Thanks. Thanks, Wilson. That's like when people come up to me and they're like, oh, man, I love – like I guess now it's applicable, but they're like, I love – like your tweets are great. I'm like, I write for a living, although I don't write anymore. Exactly. Right. But yes, you backhanded a compliment by you saying that the
not backhanded at all. That was actually really funny. Like my wife doesn't care about sports. She enjoyed that. You and Breach were dancing on the back of the wagon at the end of it. That was all good.
So the greatest accomplishment in the professional career of myself and John Breach is taking shots with a bachelorette party on a party bus in Nashville.
Yes.
I have no problem admitting it was a career highlight. I'm not ashamed by this at all.
Thank you.
We spent an hour and a half riding a party bus with some bachelorettes, got free shots out of it, got a good story out of it, and had a lot of fun. So
showed back up to the bar where we were having our draft coverage. Everybody's like, what the hell have y'all been doing? We're like, shut up. We're fine. All right. Fine. Anyway.
Well, wait, what did you guys like about specifically last year's media night? Because you guys were going around, you were giving piggyback rides. What were you asking questions about?
Is it Eric Fisher that got mad at us for asking for a Patrick Mahomes impersonation?
I think we were asking a bunch of questions. We did a scavenger hunt. And so we had to ask a bunch of players random questions, how well they knew J-Lo songs, if they were willing to do, the Patrick Mahomes impression. And you know, like you can tell some of these guys are willing to play along. They want to have fun. Like they know they might not be back in the Super Bowl. And then other guys are just like, get the hell out of my face. I'll break your back. And you're like, all right, I'm gone, man.
By the way, you know what wouldn't happen in 2021? Byron Pringle would not eat a Pringle from a random can that I bought. You know what I mean? Like he'd be like, what? I mean, first of all, you wouldn't be in the same room, but if you were, he wouldn't be like, oh yeah, stranger, let me eat that Pringle. That's probably perfectly fine for my game day COVID protocols.
Well, interestingly, Eric Fisher is out of the Super Bowl. He'll be there this week because he tore his Achilles. But you also, I recall, if I recall correctly, Lauren Duvernay-Tardif, medical doctor who opted out this year, you mentioned him as being pretty cool as the Chiefs offensive lineman.
Yeah. I would say, honestly, the highlight of the media night was, so we were walking around and we had a Pick Six podcast microphone and we were doing these interviews. And I don't know if we had like somebody with a Pick Six podcast banner or like we were wearing Pick Six podcast gear or something, but we had multiple occasions where fans who were in that building were like, yo, what's up? Pick Six podcast. Love the show. And we're like, that was very, very exciting. Cause I don't think that's happened before. At least like on a remote situation. Yes.
It has happened. It happened at the Combine 2 years ago. You didn't get invited last year. Remember we were walking around at night and you got dragged into a bar and Prisco was very proud of you and the most.
No, we met them on the outside of the bar. They were like, they recognized Pete Prisco from the Pick Six podcast, which is probably Pete's career low light. being reminded, it's like, oh, I know you from the Pick Six podcast and pardon my take. He's like, I am a beautiful Hall of Fame caliber writer. Damn it. I would say that last year though, I don't know if it's me getting older. I don't like the movement to the night.
That's what it is. I can already tell you before you even finish.
Really?
Yeah. It's you getting older.
It's just, it's 10 years of seeing it. I'm just tired of it.
Yes.
I feel a little bit less comfortable asking the ridiculous questions than I did 5 years ago.
I do think that it's gotten less absurd. And whether that is because people just feel like, oh, this isn't worth anymore, we're not getting good stuff, or just because not as many people have the resources to send reporters to a Super Bowl. So that's kind of like changed the game of what this looks like. I still think it's a good time, though. It's a, you know, like for me personally, I write a kicker story every year and you can just talk to the kickers. No one's talking to the kickers. It's like Ryan talking to the coaches or the punters. Literally no one is talking to the punters. Punters are like twiddling their thumbs and you can go over there, and just, you know, like Johnny Hecker was almost the MVP of the Super Bowl 3 years ago if the Rams would have won, right?
I do make a point to talk to the punters. I talked to, what was a Seahawks punter? Last name Ryan?
John Ryan.
I talked to John Ryan. At the Denver Super Bowl, he was really nice. And I talked to, who was the 49ers punter in the Ravens Super Bowl?
That was a long time ago.
He was really nice as well. They're really nice people. I talked to Steven Goskowski my first Super Bowl, 2011, 2012, January. Not a nice guy. Not to me.
You didn't like him?
He didn't like me.
Maybe you smelled a puke on your breath.
He knew.
You know what, dude? You might be. I walked all the way like that half mile in 35 degree weather because I needed to get some fresh air. You could be exactly right. That's a good call.
I don't know. I will say this. I think everything about the playoffs and how they've unfolded in this whole offseason, this whole postseason has really felt kind of surreal for me anyway, in the sense that we've known for a long time we weren't going to the Super Bowl, and I guess it hadn't kicked in that we're not there. But I also don't think there's anything, you know, I know there are a bunch of people out in Tampa maybe, but not, like if you work for CBS, you're not doing anything, you know, from media day, which occurred via Zoom during the day, Patrick Mahomes was talking about Tom Brady. He said, I'm trying to get to that level. And Brady said of Mahomes, he's only elevated since 2018. Any takeaways here from these guys? I didn't really catch a whole ton of it. I was doing work and dealing with school during the day, but
yeah, I saw you trying to figure out what a pitch was. I know you were busy at work today.
I just thought that was a little odd to include that as a
Debo. I don't know if you read through Slack today. If you did, you can tell me. But how many oceans are there?
There are now 5 oceans.
Did you know that?
They're just making stuff up as they go. Pluto's not a planet. There's 5 oceans. What's next?
What's next? That's exactly what my wife said.
What are your kids, Gen Z?
I don't know what this, like, I don't know what ages 13 and 9 are.
Because Brinson, Breach, and I are all millennials.
You're millennials. These two just barely. You're right in the middle of it. You and Blanket right in the middle of it. You
barely make the cut.
Yeah, well, all millennials believe in 4 oceans, Ryan. That's what we have in common. I'm getting hashtag team 4 oceans.
So I don't know when that happened. Anyway, there are 4 oceans. The Southern Ocean / Antarctic Ocean is now a thing, which I don't know what that's about. I don't know where the Antarctic lobby is coming from, but they're bringing it on strong. I did watch some of the pressers as they were. And I think the highlight for me wasn't Patrick Mahomes, who I thought it was cool that some of the kids got to ask questions and they were very polite the players were in terms of answering them. Nothing super ground shattering, but I did love at all the questions I heard answered. Two questions I liked a lot. I like Bruce Arians saying he was mad as hell that Brian Leferson didn't get a job interview, which I thought was sort of funny. But also, I love the fact that Gronk admitted that he sort of gamed his way out of running sprints in the offseason by wearing different colored shirts on the same day and just sending those tapes individually to coaches so they thought he was working out throughout the week.
Gronk is brilliant. I'm going to try and steal that strategy.
That was by far the best thing that came out of Media Day. All right, so instead of discussing the nothing burgers that those guys threw out there, let's rank some storylines. So 1 to 10, 10 if you love it, 1 if it's, nothing burger. Patrick Mahomes can, and this is sort of from, somebody mentioned this in the chat, I think, but, and by the way, George Maddox says, shout out from the UK, 10 to midnight here, but still watching Priority Straight.
Yeah, wow.
Sorry. Wrong one. Alan Rico 0307. What do you guys think about Tony Romo saying Mahomes doesn't have a chance to surpass Tom Brady? And this is sort of the one, and Romo's point was if Mahomes doesn't win this game,
right,
then he probably can't ever pass Brady. It wasn't he can't pass Brady. Just this game is going to decide whether Mahomes can surpass Tom Brady as the GOAT. You buying or selling? 1 to 10. What do you think, Ryan?
So we talked about this a few weeks ago. If Mahomes wins, it'll be 6-2. If he loses, it'll be 7-1. And I think we all agreed that 6-2 is all, even though it's one game difference, two games in each direction, it feels much more quote unquote surmountable than a 7-1 lead breach.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you lose and you're down 7-1, you have to win 8 Super Bowls to pass Brady. Like
that ain't happening.
That absolutely isn't happening. I know how good Patrick Mahomes is, but the other thing is that, you know, Patrick Mahomes hasn't done a great job of like staying healthy for an entire season. That's something we saw Tom Brady, which I think we kind of take for granted. But besides that, like halfway mark of his career where he lost the season to his ACL in 2008, he's been remarkably healthy. It's almost insane. And Mahomes get these little injuries and those start to add up on you. So, you know, Mahomes got to stay healthy and just getting the 8 Super Bowls doesn't seem plausible. So I think, yes, I don't think that's a crazy statement to say if Mahomes wants to catch Brady, he has to win this game.
Not only 8 Super Bowls, but he has to, it's 7-1. So the difference is 6. 6-2, it's only 4. Only 4 is still a ton. No one else is doing that, but Mahomes is certainly best positioned to do it until the Steelers trade for Deshaun Watson.
Okay, I don't really get the Patrick Mahomes hadn't stayed healthy during the season.
He's been banged up. He had the knee injury.
He's missed two games for injury in his career, and he came back from a crazy knee injury really early. I think this is
okay.
So he got hurt.
Tom Brady missed an entire season with an ACL injury.
Tom Brady's played 40 years.
Tom Brady didn't miss any games early on. I'm saying that he's already, once you start to get hurt, it's the box is open.
What? What are you talking about?
That's his medical opinion. The box is open. Once you get hurt.
I don't have a medical opinion.
Hi, everybody. Once you get hurt, the box is open.
It is. Mahomes has, no, this isn't like Mahomes is missing 12 games a season to injury. This is, if you're missing 2 or 3 games each year, what if that happens in week 17 instead of week 5?
2 or 3 games each year.
He missed 2 games already.
What?
He missed 2 games in the regular season already.
In 3 years. With a,
I am saying, Brinson, Tom Brady.
A pile running the ball in the red zone with an already banged up leg and a play that Andy Reid shouldn't have called. This is
He did call it. I said, Tom Brady has said stayed remarkably healthy, and it's going to be hard for Patrick Mahomes to stay that healthy.
I think that's fair. Tom Brady, I mean, Patrick Mahomes runs a lot.
It is unlikely that he will stay as healthy as Tom Brady.
Okay. Yeah, that's all he's saying.
He's also unlikely he'll play as many years as Tom Brady.
Yeah, that'll be hard because at least the way he plays now. And God help him.
Patrick Mahomes, a good upstanding citizen, will be suspended 4 games.
For using a cell phone?
For inflating a football.
And fly to Italy with his supermodel wife during that 4-game suspension?
Yeah.
No, I mean, and then win the Super Bowl anyway?
It would be an upset if I don't know. So let's say they both only played 1 game their first. I don't know. You basically have to start 2002. That's Mahomes' first, you know, that's Brady's first year as a full-time starter.
Yeah. What are you trying to do?
I'm just saying, like, if through Patrick Mahomes, his first 7 years as a full-time starter, will he miss 15 games? Because that's how many Brady missed.
I mean, we have no idea. But, I mean, he's on a great start in terms of keeping up with Brady for this race to either 7 or 8.
Do you think today's quarterbacks, like, I think today's quarterbacks like Mahomes can easily play. Like, Brady's the outlier playing till 43. I think all the quarterbacks coming in the league now can easily play to 40, 45 if they're good enough, which Mahomes will be.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
That's a great point, because Brady actually talked about this on his conference call today, where he didn't start getting into the healthy stuff and the Alex's last name, Breach?
Guerrero
stuff until later, but now he takes it very seriously with the avocado ice cream, all of this stuff. These guys coming in, and Patrick Mahomes talked about it, they know health is incredibly important from jump street. Russell Wilson's really big into that. Yeah, I think it makes a ton.
I mean, like the difference between a guy like Mahomes who's doing these techniques. First of all, people are just staying healthier longer. Like, bacon and cigs aren't as big a part. I mean, you know, Lynn Dawson is smoking a cig at halftime of Super Bowl.
The picture of George Blanda and Tom Brady is like the ultimate comparison of the difference now. George Blanda looks like he's 68 and he was 43 in that picture with Tom Brady.
Right. And I just think that it's a great point, Debo. I think these guys will play a lot longer if they're able to play. I mean, even look at the guys, the last bastions of these older, Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Peyton Manning. I mean, those dudes played a long time, but they're not exactly, yoga and avocado ice cream guys. They're, Rivers isn't drinking beer, but most of those guys are pounding some cold, like ice cold Bud Light or ice cold Miller Lite right after the game.
Or ice cold cuts if you're Big Ben.
Russell, or ice cold is best.
To Ryan's point, Russell Wilson has said he puts over $1 million into his body every year. Patrick Mahomes with $450 million. Imagine how much he can dedicate to his body every year to play until he's 45 at the minimum. If you have 20 more years, yes, 7-1 is a big margin, but if you have 20 years to make up that difference and you're Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm putting like $1 million worth of bourbon into my body a year. Not really.
But even if he wins, if he were to lose and he's down 7-1 and you have to win 7 Super Bowls, you've already played 3 years. If you play 20 years, you have to win 7 Super Bowls over the next 17 years, which.
Ooh, also, and this is, I don't think people will talk about this enough. If Brady wins and it's 7-1, and maybe this is what you're getting at, Breach, Brady holds the tiebreaker. Like, at the end of the day, everybody's going to come back to the fact that, because this is in all likelihood, maybe not, but that, like, that maybe the last time that Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes will square off in the Super Bowl. I mean, the odds would say that it probably is, just by virtue of, Brady's age and how difficult it is to get to a Super Bowl, et cetera. Maybe they play again, but if Brady wins head to head and Brady has the 2018 AFC Championship game where he beat him head to head, it's going to be really hard for Patrick Mahomes to outgoat Brady when we start to look back at it, unless he has like 10 Super Bowls. So, I think this one is, I think that this is a 10, and I agree with Tony Romo. I think it's almost impossible for him to catch him if he doesn't win this one.
Yeah. No one's catching him if he doesn't win this one.
Okay.
And the other thing about Mahomes is after year 10, he might not have Andy Reid because we don't know how much longer Andy Reid will coach. Surely, he's going to coach the next 5 years, but he's 62. Who knows what he's doing after 10 years? And so maybe Mahomes doesn't have Reid for the back half of his career if he ends up playing 20 years.
Let me ask you this. Let's say, it's 6-2 after this Super Bowl. Let's say the Chiefs win. And let's say over the next 10 years, it's 6-6 and Andy Reid retires. Matt Patricia coaches the next 5 years of the Chiefs. Do they win one more to get to 7 to get Patrick Mahomes over the hump versus Tom Brady?
No. The question is, do they win 7 games in one season?
Is this like a Jason Garrett situation where Patricia's headset is turned off and he doesn't know it? And so some of the assistants are running the team. Patricia's not actually doing anything because then they have a chance.
They're turned on and he has 2 pencils, one behind each ear.
Okay, no.
All right, let's look at another storyline. The Chiefs going for a repeat and the idea of a possible dynasty forming. The Chiefs would be, of course, the first team to win back-to-back Super Bowl since the 2004 Patriots did it, beating the Panthers and Eagles and Andy Reid, of course. They would be the 8th different franchise to win back-to-back Super Bowls. Is Is it a dynasty forming if the Chiefs win a second Super Bowl, or are we jumping the gun?
Yeah, especially in the salary cap era. It's incredibly hard to win. You have the most important player tied up forever in Patrick Mahomes. You have the second most important person in Andy Reid, arguably the most important person, still wanting to coach because he has Patrick Mahomes. I don't know what their situation is in terms of players hitting free agency. I have to look real quick. But again, you have Patrick Mahomes. And I think the real test will be if they can win this game with a banged up offensive line. They're only going to have two starters on this offensive line at the Super Bowl that started the season. They're going to have to move some guys around. I think Wiley's going to have to move from guard to tackle. Eric Fisher's hurt. I think Stepnowski's going to have to play. He was with the Steelers at the beginning of the year. He got cut, came back. So, I mean, this is going to be incredibly difficult, but I think they're certainly well positioned to make a legit run if they win this game, because of two guys, Andy Reid and old Patrick Mahomes.
And they're getting that kind of advantage that Tom Brady and the Patriots had, where I feel like over the past, probably since Peyton Manning retired, you just felt like the Patriots didn't have stiff competition. The Steelers were around, but you just felt like the Patriots were going to end up in the Super Bowl every year out of the AFC. And that's where it kind of feels like, I know there's the Buffalo Bills and there's Josh Allen, but he could be a one-year wonder. You know, like, we don't know how good they're going to be in the future. We know how good the Chiefs are going to be. And I don't know which AFC team can compete with them right there. I mean, they just beat Buffalo by two touchdowns, and the score wasn't even indicative of how close it was, because it was a bigger blowout than that. And if that's the next closest team on the ladder, then, you know, it feels like the Chiefs are going to own the AFC. And if you own the AFC, like the Patriots did, that's how you start your dynasty. So I do think they've got one in the making here.
Yeah, let's see where Deshaun Watson goes first, I guess, and then we can make that call. Because if he goes to the Dolphins, if he goes to the Dolphins, it actually boosts the case for the Chiefs, because then the Dolphins and the Bills are battling each other. Yeah.
Devouring
each other, exactly. I mean, I hesitate to call it a budding dynasty, if only because I think we need to decide what are the qualifications for a dynasty, and, you know, what is the length of success, and, you know, what are, you know, how many titles do you have to win for it to qualify, right?
Like, well, back to back's a good start.
All right. Well, let me, so if the Patriots had never won another title after the first three, are they a dynasty?
I don't know. When did they win the first three? The first one came in 2001.
It was three
2004. And then they went a long time without winning one. If Brady had left, so they went undefeated in 2007, obviously, and then losing the Super Bowl. If Brady leaves in 2009, no, because they went back to the Super Bowl in 11 and lost.
Yep, we were there.
Yep. If he leaves after that Super Bowl, are they a dynasty?
Yeah. In the salary cap era, I think they are.
Okay.
I think if you win three Super Bowls in 5 years.
And go to five.
Yeah, I that's got to qualify, because it has to be a length of time. You know, like, it can't just be if you went back to back and the Chiefs never win another one. Obviously, that's not a dynasty. That's just good job. You won back to back Super Bowls, which is not something that's very common. So I think you have to throw a third Super Bowl win and then kind of pick where that length of time cuts off. Maybe it's three Super Bowl wins in 8 years.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. I think if you're in the mix for Super Bowls for a span of 10 years, and you come out of it with three titles, then it's hard not to call that a dynasty.
Yeah, and you can't go 4-12 in one of those years either. You have to always be right. 500 or better, 8-8 better, and compete.
And the dynasty factor too, I think it's a little bit of, there has to be a feel to it, right? Like, the Patriots were all omnipresent in the NFL since they won in 2001.
Yep.
Really, since the 03, when they beat the Panther, all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, the Patriots just don't lose. And the Chiefs have that vibe to them. You know, like, the Chiefs do feel like, I mean, yeah, the Bills are great. Here comes Mahomes. It's like, oh, the Browns are having a great season. Here comes Mahomes. Like, if that's how they feel, that's a dynasty feel.
Just the talking point. What's that? The talking point has to be, how do you beat the Patriots? How do you beat the Chiefs? No one's saying, how do you beat the Bills? They're really good. But the first talking point is, how do you beat the Chiefs?
Is an entire league gearing up and basing their strategy, and specifically people in your division and in your conference, are they gearing their entire team building strategy
right
around taking you out? Because that's how the Patriots were for a long time. And yeah, I think the Chiefs qualify in that regard. So probably have to win three to get into the dynastic qualification zone.
Well, here's the thing. If they win on Sunday and then they start the season 9-1 next year, all we're talking about is the dynasty conversation.
We were doing it after last year's win. The Chiefs are dynasty, but.
Well, and the crazy thing about the Chiefs is you look at, we now have three full seasons of Patrick Mahomes. He's never lost a game by more than 7 points. So literally the Chiefs are in every single game he plays and could have won any of them that they lost.
And they could be coming off back to back Super Bowl wins, but for D Ford going off sides in 2018.
Which is crazy to think about.
And I think they would have handled the Rams, right? I mean, like, you know.
That was the year they lost to him, 54-51.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What? That was a Mexico game?
Yeah. Mexico moved to L.A.
Oh, right.
Jared Goff has sucked since then. How long ago does that feel like?
Yeah. By the way, the free agency situation is relatively good. They're going to lose some guys. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, Darrell Williams, that's one thing. They have the big guns coming back and Tyreek and Travis Kelce. They have a few guys on defense that'll be free agents. Bashaud Breeland among them, but they're in really good shape, in terms of their core guys coming back. And of course, Andy Reid as well.
And Brett Veach has done a very good job drafting. Andy Reid obviously plays into that too. The thing with Reid is, unlike with Philadelphia, let's say he gets the Super Bowl, cause that's otherwise the conversation is a little moot for a while. If he gets a Super Bowl, Andy Reid's playing with house money in Kansas City. Back-to-back titles, there's no pressure. You're not feeling that the way it built in Philadelphia year after year after year. If Andy Reid can't coach in the playoffs, Andy Reid can't get it done. Hell, I mean, last week, Wilson's like, you know what you got to do is you got to say, what would Andy Reid do here? Do that. That's how far we've come, where Andy Reid is the most forward-thinking, smartest playoff coach, time management guy in the NFL. So, yeah, Debo's shaking his head. It's unbelievable. I mean, even early on with the Chiefs, you know, there was that game, that playoff game with Alex Smith in Kansas City, in New England, where he botched the time management stuff. It's almost like winning that Super Bowl took away everything. It took away takes away all the demons. It's weird. It's not even weird. I guess it's natural how a title does that for you.
There's been some nightmarish Andy Reid calls. I could see it in Debo's eyes.
It hurts. We're past that.
We're on to Kansas City.
He hasn't done a lot of it lately, though. I went back and watched the Week 12 game against the Buccaneers. He kicked a field goal in the first drive, like fourth inside the 5-yard line. But at the very end of the game, they were like 3rd and 7 or 8 or whatever, and they could have punted and given Tom Brady the ball back with 30 seconds to go. Threw a pass from Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, your two best players, because, you know, that's what good coaches and good teams do. Converted it, game over. He didn't give Tom Brady another chance. We've seen teams in the playoffs make that excuse. We're going to trust our defense. Your defense sucks. And they got absolutely exposed. He didn't do that. So maybe it took him 15 years, but he learned the lesson.
Well, I think part of it is too, is having Patrick Mahomes, where you're not.
Matt LaFleur has to Aaron Rodgers.
I'm just saying that I think Andy Reid thinks these things in his brain, but sometimes he's like, I don't know. And now with Mahomes, and he did with Chad Henne too. So who knows? All right. What about this one? Bucks playing at home. 1-10 breach. How big of a storyline is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing at home?
For me, it is 4. Historically, I think it's a big deal because obviously nobody has ever gotten to play at home before. But Patrick Mahomes is 21-4 on the road. The Chiefs went 8-0 on the road this season. The Chiefs love playing on the road. I think Tampa Bay went 5-3 at home. I have to double check that. So you're talking about you had more losses at home than you did on the road. I don't really see an advantage here. If anything, there's more pressure on Tampa because you feel like they should win because they're playing a Super Bowl at home. So I like it as maybe a storyline to talk about, but I don't think it gives the Buccaneers any advantage at all. And you know what? This was the first year ever where home team or road teams won more games than home teams did during the regular season.
Yeah, 4 actually was. I was surprised with that low. I feel like it's a 5, probably that's about right. But for the reasons you talked about, I don't know if you talked about the Chiefs flying in on Saturday, so it's just another away game for them. They're not stuck in Tampa for a week having to get accustomed to staying in hotel rooms while the Buccaneers stay at home. And also, You mentioned how good they are on the road, but also they came here in week 12 and won, and they were up 17-0 at halftime. It was 27 in the fourth quarter. And then a couple breaks went the other way, and Tom Brady, who threw two interceptions in that game, two terrible interceptions in that game, scored two touchdowns late, but it's not a big deal to me.
Yeah, I think it's a, I'll say it's a two for me. I was going to say four too. I just don't think it's a big deal because the Chiefs, there's no, it's not like the Chiefs are having to deal with the distractions of a Super Bowl on the road and being in a different city. And the Chiefs have played in Tampa. The Chiefs have won in Tampa. I don't think that Tampa, if this were Brady and Belichick in New England at home, yes, huge home field advantage if they were playing at home because, you know, things and stuff. But for the Bucs, nah, nothing really there for me. And I just think Tampa's not a huge advantage. The Chiefs will fly in Saturday. And they'll, you know, they'll take care of business. So I think it's a two, depending on the possibility of fans getting loud in that stadium, which I don't think they're going to do, but, we shall see. Any thoughts on winning one for Bruce Arians?
They seem to love him, and Bruce Arians has a lot of funny, you know, sort of one-liners, but, he's a good coach. He hires more minority and women coaches than anyone on planet Earth. Tom Brady says he likes to be coached hard, which is sort of funny because he didn't like Bill Belichick coaching him up that hard, apparently. But maybe he likes being coached hard and also being recognized for being really good because, you know, the word on the streets that Bill Belichick wasn't one to hand out compliments, which may have led to the departure of both Brady and Gronk. But yeah, I mean, you can win it for Bruce Arians, but I think a lot of times these players win them for themselves because if you're at this point, you don't need any real outside motivation.
But I would also say that the win one for someone's storyline hasn't really been working out this season. It's one of those fairy tales that's been where you set the book on fire. Cause I feel like the Saints wanted to win one for Drew Brees, knowing that he's probably retiring. And yep, that didn't happen. And I'm sure the Packers wanted to win one for Aaron Rodgers. Hey man, you haven't been to the Super Bowl in 10 years, but you played like an MVP this year. Let's get you a win. Didn't happen. And so you go in the game trying to win one for Bruce Arians. I don't know. So that's not the storyline that if I'm a player, you know, you're not winning it for Tom Brady. Dude's got six rings. So I think at the end of the game, if you win it, you feel good that Bruce Arians got a ring, but that's not something I would think about as a player until, you know, it's the fourth quarter and you're up 10 points with 3 minutes left.
Also, it's not like Bruce Arians has been there 10 years and hadn't won a Super Bowl. Like he was retired and then came back out of retirement, was working for CBS Sports, comes to Tampa Bay. You know, Antonio Brown, mercenary. I mean, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans have played for him 2 years. Tom Brady, mercenary style, right? And now, like, Devin White, Antonio Winfield, you know, some of these guys are younger, probably don't know him that, I mean, they know him really well, but I don't know if there's just like, just blossoming sentiment, like, we gotta win this one for Bruce. Although I do think it matters. So I would say it's like around a five, just in the sense that it might be simmering below the surface, but could get ramped up. And, you know, you hear Bruce Arians coming out and saying like, hey, like he's pounded the table for Byron Leftwich to get head coaching interviews. So I mean, like players, the people who play and coach with Bruce Arians love Bruce Arians and think he's a Hall of Fame coach. And if he wins this game, he is a Hall of Fame coach, I think. So maybe it's a little bit bigger than people think, but I don't know that it's necessarily like one of the most prominent storylines. All right. We're going to take a quick break.
Brenson, who was that, Buck safety that you mentioned?
What did I say?
I just want to keep it fair for Breach. Breach made a mistake with a Chief safety. I just want you to say his name.
Antoine Winfield?
Okay.
How do you...
You dropped a Antonio Winfield, but...
I said Antonio Brown's a mercenary. Right. And Antoine Winfield was drafted.
We got the tapes.
Bring the tape back, son.
Go piss.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What about this one? Can Travis Kelce supplant Gronk as the greatest tight end ever with a win in this Super Bowl 1-10, Wilson?
I think the problem is a lot of what we do is that it's all recency bias. Like Gronk dominated for the longest time. And then the last 3 years, he didn't play last year. He's been basically a glorified blocker. I think he's been more involved in the passing game this year, obviously, sort of as a security blanket, when he's able to run down the field for Tom Brady. But Travis Kelce, I think, has 5 straight seasons of 1,000-plus yards. That's incredibly impressive. I don't know if Gronk in his current form is doing that. In fact, I'm pretty sure he's not, if Gronk in this form is on the Kansas City Chiefs roster right now. So, and Gronk did say on Monday that Travis Kelce, I think he said he's the best player on that team, perhaps not named Patrick Mahomes, I think is what he meant. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it's close. I mean, it's Mahomes, Tyreek, and Kelce. They're all incredibly important. So, yeah, I, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'll say 7.5, and he may already be there.
Wow.
There are only 4 tight ends in NFL history that have had a 1,000-yard receiving year 4 times, and Kelce has done it 5 times. And we're not just basing this on that, but I think that's a good way to look at it because, as Ryan said, doing it 5 straight years, I mean, it's kind of like this dynasty thing. That's dominance when you do it for 5 straight years. And the other tight ends on that list were Gronk, Tony Gonzalez, and Jason Witten. So I don't think it's crazy to say that Jason Kelce is past Gronk at this point, and he might only be 2 or 3 years away from just being the entire list of best tight end of all time, like just not that far away. You talk about if Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce both retired.
You called him Jason Kelce. It's fine.
That's a bold prediction.
Yeah. I don't know what they're laughing about.
Mixed up.
It's fine.
But if Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes both retired at the end of this season, you know, like would they both get in the Hall of Fame? It's that discussion where they both put up such good numbers that you could easily make the argument the answer is yes.
If Mahomes like abruptly left football right now, he's probably not getting in.
With an MVP and 2 Super Bowl wins?
You would at least have a debate about it. I don't think he gets in like that.
Who's better?
In the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
After 4 years, they wouldn't put him in after 4 years.
Rivers
after 3 years.
He's saying if they retired
I'm talking about Travis Kelce.
No. Kelce would have a shot for sure getting in if he retired right now. Kelce's still young though.
He's in his early 30s.
Rob Gronkowski is 5 months older than Travis Kelce. That just blew me away. You just have this assumption that Gronk is 3 or 4 years older. It took Kelce a little bit to get going. Gronk pretty much dominated the second he stepped in the league. They're 5 months apart. 31.
Gronk didn't have a monster rookie year. In fact, there were a lot of people who thought that Aaron Hernandez was the better tight end.
Gronk was injured at Arizona. He had like a back injury, I think.
That's why he fell in the draft. He would have, yeah.
Went the second round.
Crazy injured. 42 catches, 546 yards as a rookie, but 10
That's
touchdowns.
Pretty good for a rookie.
Yeah, 10 touchdowns is really good for a rookie. They lead the league in touchdowns the next year with 90 catches, 1,327 yards, and 17 touchdowns on the monster season. And I think with Gronk, my thing with Gronk is that he is – so when I think of like the greatest tight end, I think that you almost have to split them out differently. Like Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, and Travis Kelce – sort of go into one bucket of tight ends for me. And then like Gronk and George Kittle go into another one.
Why?
Cause I mean, like Travis Kelce ain't mauling dudes in the run game. Like Gronk was I think that matters for me.
That's fine. Yeah. But it's a different, I mean, it's different time now too in terms of blocking tight ends.
This is a good, question from Clarence Yee here.
Yeah.
He recalls us griddling.
Thank you.
Lawrence Duvernay-Tardif about what disease he would have based on the certain symptoms. And he did a very good job with them. I mean, if Kelce plays with Mahomes for 3 or 4 more years and he keeps lighting up 1,000-yard seasons, and they win a couple of Super Bowls, he's going to end up passing Gronk because Gronk has 1 year left, maybe.
Yeah, right? Maybe.
But I think that the one thing that Kelsey's going to be chasing is the touchdowns though, because Gronk was such a weapon in the red zone. I know Kelsey has been, but Gronk has 86 career touchdowns. That is almost double what Kelsey has. So we talk about the yardage production. That's because the Chiefs playing an offense that puts up a lot of yards. But when push comes to shove, you know, scoring is what you have to do in football because the team with the most points wins the game. And you have 86 touchdowns. That's insanity. And so Kelsey's not even at 50 yet. And he's going to have what, like 4 or 5 very, very, very good years.
Yeah. Travis Kelsey has less receiving yards than Mike Evans. Mike Evans was drafted a year later, and I know they play different positions, but Kelsey is running routes on most of his plays. I mean, he has less receiving yards than Jimmy Graham. He has less receiving yards than Golden Tate and Greg Jennings and Wesley Walker. He has less receiving yards than Eddie Kennison, Chiefs legend. So I think in like 2,000 yard seasons, and he's almost up to 10,000, at which point he's a lock for the Hall of Fame.
Wait, you're talking Frank Gore longevity, where Breach and I just mentioned he had 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons. That's bonkers.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, in order to pass Gronk, I think he probably needs 5 more
seasons. Noting, Tom Brady didn't have a lot of people to throw to after 2010 when Gronk out there. Wasn't a lot of receivers. Him and Julian Edelman. Whereas,
yeah, that was sort of the game plan for them, right?
But my point is that Andy Reid's game plan is to throw it to Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Demarcus Robinson and everybody else, including Travis Kelce.
Do you think that as it stands right now that Travis Kelce is a better tight end than Antonio Gates?
No, and that's, again, recency bias. I think we're just falling into that trap. Antonio Gates was dominant, and he also was dominant as a basketball player coming out of Kent State, right? Yep. Who didn't play a ton of football. I mean, imagine that.
Yeah, I think Pro Bowls are a pretty silly stat to go by, but I really like using first team All Pro. Gronk was first.
That is a very good stat to use.
First team All Pro, Gronk 4, Kelsey after this year, he's now up to 3. So he's creeping in there. I would assume and guess that he gets to 4 at some point in his career. We talk about legacy, you know, Travis Kelsey 11-1 this weekend to win Super Bowl MVP. How much, you know, hypothetically, if he captures that, does that make up ground on Gronk and the legacy chase?
Okay, so I think Gronk is the greatest tight end to ever play. Do you guys disagree with that?
Who else is in running?
Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez is really good.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my point. Tony Gonzalez is 6th all time in receiving yards amongst all NFL players.
That's pretty impressive.
I sort of think that to pass Gronk as the greatest tight end ever, Travis Kelce might have to pass Tony Gonzalez in receiving yards. Yeah. That doesn't seem unfair.
I don't know. I mean,
like, if we agree that Gronk is better than Tony Gonzalez, can Travis Kelce have worse stats than Tony Gonzalez and be better than Gronk?
I'm not convinced that Gronk is better than Gonzalez. I think it's really close.
Okay. I mean, he has more receiving yards than Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson.
Think about it this way. What if Tony Gonzalez played in 6 Super Bowls or 5 or 4, however many Gronk played in? I mean, that would change our perception of him as well.
Sure.
He's playing on bad teams.
So. He has 15,000 receiving yards.
That's pretty good.
Crazy.
So he's got double Kelce. So Kelce would have to literally double his production at his age over his next. He's 31, so his next 6 years would have to be just as good as his past 6 years, or his next 5 years have to be just as good as his past 5 years.
I'm not saying Kelce can't do it. I just think I would put him below Gonzalez, certainly right now. So I have him way below Gronk. But I mean, look, he's gotten in the last 3 years since Patrick Mahomes took over as the full-time starter in Kansas City. Here's what Travis Kelce averages per season. 101.7 receptions, 1,327 yards, and 8.7 touchdowns. That is obnoxiously huge. He should really be like a top 5 fantasy pick, honestly. All right, let's move on to some other stuff. Now, this one's for Ryan.
Yo.
Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell winning a Super Bowl ring without Big Ben as he fades into obscurity working at a, where do you think Big Ben will work afterwards? Like a Chevron, or will he just be like a waiter at a Shoney's?
No, he'll be the Shoney's greeter.
Let me show you to your seat. Breach, clean this table off, please.
The red, they do wear red.
And Breach has a funny story about working at P.F. Chang's for 4 hours.
What?
Did you get fired, or like what happened?
I didn't get fired.
No, he quit because they wouldn't let him go to a Bengals game.
Bengals Steelers game in Pittsburgh.
He said, "I'm out."
Wait, so you didn't get fired. You mutually parted ways when they wouldn't.
No, he quit.
Correct.
You quit at a Shoney's?
P.F. Chang's. Quite the difference, Princeton. It's quite the difference.
Yes,
it is. Huge difference.
Right. One's classy.
I'm not knocking Shoney's. Shoney's is good. It's delicious, but it's different. You know, if you're taking your wife to P.F. Chang's for your anniversary, it's probably going to be less frowned upon than taking her to Shoney's.
Yeah. You take her to Shoney's.
You take her to Shoney's. You're in trouble, buddy.
You take her to Shoney's to serve her the divorce papers. You don't take her to Shoney's to celebrate an anniversary.
All you can eat divorce papers.
Right.
Who won the game, Breach?
I think the Steelers did. So
good guess, Breach. Good guess. Steelers Bengals game in the last 10 years.
I quit for this. Hey, this wasn't in the past 10 years, was it?
No, I'm trying to. I'm looking up.
Last year.
I can't remember if it was 2005 or 2006.
Yeah, you lost 2005. 2006 is after Big Ben had the motorcycle accident, so you may have won that one.
And the Bengals won in 2006, but I can't remember which one. It was one of the.
You'd remember if the Bengals won. So where does this rank? The Steelers outcast. Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell? Where does this rank for you, Wilson, on a scale of 1 to 10?
Well, it's funny because when I rewatched the Week 12 game, of Buccaneers Chiefs, the Steelers were 10-0, and they're like, oh, they're first place in the AFC. They're still like game ahead of the Chiefs. They're still in this thing, and they have the, you know, they're going to have the home field advantage when they get the bye. And everything went south from there. Pretty much, they went to 11-0, and the wheels fell off. I'm fine with Le'Veon Bell and/or Antonio Brown getting a Super Bowl ring. 2010 is when Antonio joined the team as a rookie, so he was there.
Yeah, he doesn't have one, but he's been in one.
He went to the Super Bowl and they lost to the Packers. That was your first Super Bowl, I think. Le'Veon has never been to the Super Bowl with the Steelers. Obviously, 2013 is when it was his first year, and he was a big part of getting into the playoffs. And then he would get hurt. One time he got hurt by stupid Vontaze Burfict in the middle of the season. He couldn't play in the playoffs that year. Thank you, Breach, for that. And that's one of the reasons they lost. You know, losing in 2015. In fact, that's when it was, because they lost to the Broncos in a game they should have won because their backup running back fumbled the ball into the game. They had a one breach. So there's
your running back fumbled the ball to lose you a game. What does that sound like in 2015, Wilson?
Yeah, the week after,
I
guess.
Playing in that round. You should have been lost to the Bengals in the wild card.
Right. But yeah, so I'm fine if either one of them win it. I think given the legal history, I would rather Le'Veon win than Antonio, but maybe Antonio's found the help that he's needed, and he's a good person now. But
I'm over still, under on how many rap videos Le'Veon Bell makes if he gets a Super Bowl ring with his Super Bowl ring in it. That's my ring finger.
21.
That's probably right. I'll say over.
So yeah, I'm fine with it. So I'm not upset at all. So I'll say a 1 on a scale, 1 to 10 in terms of being upset.
Oh, well, okay. Right. On a storyline angle, I'd say it's like a 3.5.
Oh, in terms of storyline, I couldn't remember what the scale was for. It's something that you would definitely talk about at media night. If there were a media night, they would get a million questions about it. But or how much do you hate Ben Roethlisberger? Are you mad that Mike Tomlin got angry at you for Facebook living the locker room after you beat the Chiefs against Alex Smith that year? Those
have
type
you settled
of things?
Any of your court cases?
that would be a great question that I would love Breach to answer, to ask Antonio Brown to his face with a Pick Six podcast mic. That would be promptly broken over his head.
Six times.
Yeah. So in terms of a storyline, yeah, 3.5 sounds about right.
Okay. Eric Bieniemy proving he deserved a head coaching job, or if you want, Byron Leftwich proving he got snubbed by Debo in this rundown. Where does that rank on your storylines?
Well,
Aaron, 1 of 10. Debo, Bruce Arians, your boy.
Yeah, Bruce Arians said he was angry about it, and Andy Reid said he was happy to have Eric Bieniemy back, but he was angry that he was coming back, and the implication being that he should get a head coaching job. Also, when you go back and watch the Week 12 game, the broadcast version, Tony Romo and Jim Nantz are like, there's no way Eric Bieniemy is going to be back next year. He is number one on the coach hiring list, and here we are. He's coming back.
He should have hired me to help him edit that Wikipedia page sooner.
What did it say?
Well, they've changed it from the controversy section for Bieniemy.
It's no longer there.
Ooh.
No longer there. Gotcha. Since I mentioned it on a popular radio show, it was disappeared 6 hours later. I do think the Bieniemy thing, this is one thing I think is really unfair to, black coaches in general and just minority coaches in the whole process, is that Eric Bieniemy has been turned into the face for this whole process. And it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it should not be one guy is the face of the black coaches who need to be hired. I mean, it shouldn't be like that. And I thought Todd Bowles and Bieniemy both had really good quotes to Peter King in his column on Monday, where they're like, look, we're coaches, man. We're not black coaches. Like, what, I can't remember if he said, like, it was like a FedEx delivery or like a waiter, but he's like, you don't walk into a, you know, like, you don't like go to a Starbucks and be like, oh, look, a black barista. You know, it's just a barista. And so that's a little unfair to these guys in the sense that, you know, they are being put in this position, and Todd Bowles has already been a head coach, and Bieniemy's like, man, I'm just trying to, we're trying to win games here. So that just a commentary on the whole Bieniemy is the face of the black coaches who deserve to get hired. Although I do think he deserves to get hired based on the merits of his coaching ability, but I understand why people might have some reticence.
And as upset as he might be, and as ridiculous as it is that he doesn't have a job as a head coach, it might all end up working out for him where he ends up in the best possible spot. Cause we talked about when the Texans job was the only one left, it was, hey, what if Bieniemy ends up there? Like, Eric Bieniemy, you don't want to end up in Houston. You don't want to wait all that time for a job and end up in a place where you might go 1-15 your first year because the quarterback doesn't want to play for the team. And it's just a total disaster with Jack Easterby, and that's not where you want to be. So this could all end up working out in Bieniemy's favor if he gets a job in a place where he can actually win.
Sure. So yeah, I'll put the assistant or the coordinators who are deserving of jobs as getting some revenge here at a 6 out of 10. Cause I think it'll be propped up on the telecast. That sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Size feet Brian Leftwich has.
What's that?
Do you know what he wears? Size 9 or 9.5.
That's, you can't hire somebody with 9 or 9.5.
He's 6'5", we're size 9, 9.5 shoes.
Unhirable.
I know that because BMAC, when he did the podcast with like Taylor, they were laughing about it. And I thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever heard, that someone that size. Also, Byron Leftwich, been hit by a car twice.
9.5.
Nine. They called him like something to do with 9 is like their nickname for him.
Ryan, how did you not preface that with fun fact? That's about the craziest fun fact we've ever had in this podcast.
It is incredibly fun.
What size shoe do you guys wear?
I wear size 9. So me and Byron Leftwich could share shoes.
How tall are you for the listeners out there?
I am 7 inches shorter, 5'10 and a half, 7 inches shorter than Byron Leftwich.
Diva, shoe size? Diva's 16.
No, I'm a size 10.
Okay.
And I am on dating profiles, I'm 6 foot. In real life, I'm 5'11¾".
Breach, what size shoe are you? Like a 7.5?
8.
Wow. I'm an 11.5, you freaking tiny shoe.
Yeah, you're taller than me.
He's a hobbit. He's 4 feet tall and has a size 11 shoes. Do you have hair on the bottom of your soles too, like the hobbits do?
Yeah. What do you think? all right. Leonard Fournette. Storyline level.
So what's this playoff Lenny thing? Just because he's running the ball occasionally? Is that what it is?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything for me.
Nah, nor me.
Scotty Miller saying he'd beat Tyreek Hill in a race. I could see a situation where Tyreek Hill scores a long touchdown and runs over and does like a cheetah deuces in Scotty Miller's face.
So Scotty Miller has, I think, 6 plays of 35-plus yards this season, which is impressive when you think about it, because he's Scotty Miller, including that one big play against the Packers. I just can't envision the scenario where he's beating Cheetah in a race.
No.
This is like me racing Tyreek Hill. Like, there's just no one's beating Tyreek Hill in a race. Why would you even try to instigate something here? This is not.
If there's one thing you don't want to make Tyreek Hill upset about on the football field, it would be challenging whether or not he's the fastest player in the NFL. That's just dumb. It's like if Mahomes was like, I'm the greatest quarterback in the history of football. Brady would be like, no, now I'm mad. Now I have to go obliterate you. So don't do that. This is a good one. Scale of 1 to 10. The NFL completes a COVID-19 season on time. I think it's a 10 out of 10. It's a massive deal. We're not going to miss a single game. Like they're just not at this point. Even if you have to bump back the Super Bowl 2 weeks, they're not missing a single game.
But that's wait, no, you can't bump it back 2 weeks because of all the logistical things. But what happens if we have a Saints Broncos situation where the top four quarterbacks on the Chiefs roster are injured? Are you starting Tyreek Hill at quarterback?
I think
hold on. We had the Chiefs with two COVID issues today with Daniel Kilgore, their center, and DeMarcus Robinson, wide receiver. And so now you're talking, and those guys, I don't think they test positive because if they did, they would be ruled out for the game. So they're just close contacts. But if they did end up testing positive, and you're talking about their close contacts with the offensive line room, the wide receiver room, those are two key rooms in Kansas City. And that would totally throw a wrench in the situation. Also be like the ultimate irony that the NFL made it through the entire season and the Super Bowl blows up, because how fast would people be betting on the Buccaneers if every wide receiver was put in protocol and half the offensive linemen were in there? I mean, that would be insane. But I would say I agree with Brinson on the 10 part here. I feel like there was like a 24-hour period in like week four where like, oh my God, they're going to cancel the entire week because the Titans, everyone in that roster has it. They're just going to cancel the season and declare the Bengals the Super Bowl champs. but they didn't do that.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
By the way, if they do that, do the Bengals then, are they in the conversation for dynasty?
Yes.
I also think there's a like some merit to the idea if you're the Chiefs of go down to Tampa early.
And why?
Because you don't have to worry about like close contacts at home. I mean, somebody goes to.
I think the trade-off is worth it staying at home.
I'm just saying, like DeMarcus Robinson's hypothetically just kid goes to school and there's a.
But using that logic, then the Buccaneers should be in a hotel all week too, because they're at home.
I don't think that's crazy either. I'm just saying if you're the Chiefs, you could take the players from your team, get them out of like get them into a isolated hotel situation and you know, keep him on lockdown. DMart 42 points out there's more time to do something stupid. That's not wrong, but I wouldn't be too worried about this Chiefs team having just been here. You don't have any new additions like an Antonio Brown to worry about. And so in theory, you know, everybody's going to keep it tight, keep it between the muscles.
They just had the playoff bye too between them, the regular season divisional round. So like they've been in this exact situation already.
That's true too. So maybe this is just a close contact. Let's see what happens situation. All right, that's enough storylines. I have a chorizo quesadilla to go eat. I'm starving. A child screaming. My wife.
I have a baby to put to bed. She cries unless I say goodnight to her. And we don't need her crying all night.
My wife's trying to order a new dog, so I got to get downstairs.
Order?
She won't buy a new dog. I don't know.
Online?
No, she wants a second dog, and I'm just going to go quash that.
All right, good luck.
Nip it in the bud.
My wife wants a second baby. I got to quash that.
All right. Both of you guys, make sure you grab one up.
It's a lot easier to snuff out the second dog purchase than the second baby creation for various reasons. So good luck with that. All right, that's the show. See you later.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina. Yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.